Hello, I'm Eric Corman, interim co-CEO and communications director at League of Education Voters, and the parent of a ninth grader of the global majority in the public school system who is accessing special education services. In this podcast, we interview students, policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. Blair Penry is the 2024 Washington State Teacher of the Year. She teaches career technical education and fine arts at Auburn School District and is the worksite learning coordinator for multiple schools. A true equity-driven educator, she has led the creation of student equity groups, developed and facilitated equity and diversity professional development for our 1st through 12th grade faculty, and committed to working with local leaders to make sure all students are prepared for the future that they choose. Informed by her lived experiences and inspired by her activism work, her vision and voice are integral in continually shaping policies and initiatives that intentionally cultivate a reflective, emboldened staff and student body at Auburn Online and across the Auburn School District. She has served as high school faculty lead, is on the building leadership team, co-lead of Visible Learning, on the school improvement planning team, and the equity faculty lead. She is an active member of Auburn Equity Leadership Academy, promoting culturally responsive practices throughout the Auburn School District. She volunteers in DECA programs, participates in the Black African American Affinity Group, and serves on career technical education advisory committees. In every learning experience she facilitates, her students drive and lead the learning. Her unconditional positivity for her students is a key reason she is so impactful. She loves her job and says she gets to laugh with her students every day. She loves exploring topics that students find relevant to their lives. Blair, congratulations on being named the 2024 Washington State Teacher of the Year.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. What is career technical education and why is it important?
Yeah, so the definition, like the official definition of CTE or career and technical education, is classes that have academic and technical skill curriculum built in. What that means is that they are classes that explore real world, industry relevant skills and information so that students can get an idea of what is out there and the careers that are available to them. CTE is broken up into 16 clusters, things like health science and manufacturing and marketing. And so there's lots of different exploration within the world of CTE. And I think that's what makes it really, really important, is that we are giving students opportunities to see themselves in careers or in interest or developing skills that they might not have had exposure to before. And that's the really beautiful thing about CTE, because we can bring in, and we do bring in, community members and industry professionals and partners, and we shine the light on everything that they do. We're giving them really practical skills in those classes. There are classes that students can get certifications and take those with them from post-secondary on. And that's something that they have earned, and that's something that they can carry with them as a source of pride, but also a source of knowledge.
Yeah, sounds so cool. And how siloed is CTE from quote-unquote traditional education, and should it be?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think one thing that I've always kind of done in my CTE classes is, this might be right or wrong, right? But CTE teacher, I'm like, this is not like a class that you've ever taken before. This is completely different. This is project-based. This is hands-on. This is you leading the learning. And I'm holding you to industry standards. We are doing projects. We're working in collaboration. And with that comes a certain amount of responsibility to your own learning, but also to the class community's learning. And so we are going to do this as a community, and I'm going to hold you to those community expectations. And so I think that there is that industry perspective when it comes to CTE classes that really kind of push them off into their own world, because not only do us as CTE teachers hold them to industry expectations, we are also held to industry expectations. We meet with a committee that is comprised of different community members that are all related to the industry that we teach. So for me, it was marketing. they are making sure that my curriculum is relevant to the world that they are experiencing in marketing right now. That is a really strong and important part of CTE in how it prepares students. Whereas core classes, they have standards, right? And we have standards in CTE that we have to follow as well. But they're not meeting once a month with industry professionals saying, here are the real world problems that we are facing right now. Here are the real world skills that students need to learn at this moment. It is incredibly up to date. And so it is in a different category.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting because it's like, you know, the practical reason for education, one can argue, versus sort of the theoretical, almost education for education's sake. Not that I want to downgrade traditional education in any way.
Right.
But I wonder if there's a way to bridge the two more than is being done.
I think that there absolutely is. One of the shining points of CTE is that hands-on experience, right? That project-based learning, which is absolutely implemented in other core classrooms. So there is that bridge of instructional practices that we have that still get kids really engaged and really involved in their learning.
Well, another thing you teach is fine art. What is the connection between career technical education or CTE and fine art, if there is one?
Yeah, I love this question. It's not one that I've been asked before. When we think about fine arts, and I teach acting theater, we generally think of the production, the end product of it all. But there are so many transferable skills that students learn along the way when it comes to fine art. So when we take a look at acting, we are learning things like how to look at something from multiple different perspectives. We are learning how to critically analyze a piece, whether that is a play or whether that is a review. We're learning how to ask ourselves questions of who wrote this? Why did they write this? Where is their perspective coming from? Whose voice isn't being heard? Right? These are all really important, critical questions that students need to learn as they delve into any piece of information for any class. They're also learning how to shine and be confident and to speak publicly, or how to get their thoughts onto paper in a way that they can present it. And so all of these things along the way, yeah, we end up in this really wonderful production and it's all great. But all the skills that they're learning along the way, they're transferable to every class and to what they want to do beyond post-secondary. That's what fine arts has in common with CTE, is those transferable skills that they can use immediately, as well as taking them beyond and into that post-secondary world.
Yeah, another thing I wonder about acting in particular is that, do you notice a change in the students, you know, once they get into it? Like, do they become, I guess, more aware of what other people are thinking and feeling? And does their, you know, what I like to call theory of mind actually go up so that they can project other people's interior feelings onto themselves so they can like relate to them better? Either,
yes, again, absolutely.
Yeah. What does that look like when you see it happen?
So it's really fun when we do, this happens particularly in partner scenes. And you'll see in the beginning when they're learning their lines and they're starting their blocking, we go into intention and everything before when we go through our scene and we analyze our scene. But in the very beginning, their first rehearsal, you're going to see blocking that might not feel really natural, right? Because they're not really in tune with their partner. Beginning actors have a tendency to listen for their next line instead of listening to the conversation on stage and being a part of it, right? Having that, oh, okay, they're going to say this. Okay, now I say this and I'm going to walk this way. It can all be really regimented in the beginning. But as they start to really dive into not only the perspective of their character, but understanding the objective and the wants and the obstacles of their partner in that scene, you can start to see that growth of, oh, I really need to actually maybe move over here because they're distraught in this scene and I need to support them here, not walk across the stage away from them. And so they start to build those connections. And so you can start to see them really understand not only what is happening for them in that scene, but what is happening emotionally and physically for their partner as well. And so you see that growth of building that empathy. You might not even like the partner in the scene, right? Your character may despise that partner in the scene, but there is always going to be this element of humanity, and you have to find it so that you can connect to it, so that you can be authentic and present in your scene. And you see that growth, and it's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely amazing. And you can see it online, right? It doesn't have to just be in person. You can see that transformation when students are filming their scenes over Zoom, over Google Meet.
Does that carry over off stage or off screen as well? Have you seen that?
You know, I really think that it does. We examine a lot of different perspectives in acting. One of the really beautiful things about theater is that there are so many different voices to be heard and to be valued and to be looked at. And so when we are looking at a piece, for instance, when we study pantomime, we look at it through Native American traditional roots. And the pantomime that we look at is about persecution, and it is about being lost. And students can grab onto that. They might not have gone through exactly what's happening in the scene, but through that empathy building, through that skill of understanding multiple perspectives, you can see the recognition. You can hear the deep question that they're asking about what this character is going through in this pantomime. I believe that they take that with them outside of the classroom. And so the next time that something happens that they don't understand it, they are more than willing to ask those questions and to understand somebody else's perspective.
Wow. Yeah, what a wonderful opportunity. How can fine art like acting and CTE be taught in an equitable way so that every student who wants it can have these experiences?
Yeah, so the first thing is about breaking down access, especially when it comes to CTE. One thing that I think CTE does really well is provide opportunities and provide experiences for students. If we look at things like gender roles in CTE in a class that is industry-based in manufacturing, which has been really traditionally male-dominated, in high school, in a manufacturing CTE course, you're going to see lots of different people. Because it is an opportunity. There is a low risk factor so that anybody who is interested can get in there. And they are not battling that societal structure that has been put out in the world. They are gaining those skills in a low risk environment so that they can then go and be like, I know exactly what I need to do. Thank you very much. Here's my place. I'm going to pull my seat at the table. And then the other really great thing about CTE is relevant, right? And if we are going to teach equitably, then we need to make sure that our curriculum is relevant to all of our students. And it's really easy to do that in CTE. These are things that are happening in our world everywhere, right? Like when we look at marketing, I can pull marketing from anything. I can pull marketing from hospitality. I can pull marketing from the beauty industry. I can pull marketing from the mom and pop plumbing store that's down the road. And so relevance pulls kids in. And then making sure that it is culturally relevant to your students is teaching equitably. And with fine arts, the multitude of perspectives that we get to take a look at, make sure that all students are seen and they're represented. It's not that I believe, because it's more than a belief. I know when students see themselves in the classroom, they know they can bring themselves in the classroom. And fine arts, CTE, it's an easy way to do that. It's so easy to bring in these multiple perspectives because it's our world. It's around us, and we can just pull from that.
Yeah, well, you talk about the students seeing the relevance and seeing themselves. How do your students drive and lead their learning?
Yeah, so in both CTE and fine arts, it's all very project-based. And so essentially what that means is they have a pretty loose structure. It's really the outline. It's the outline of what we're going to do. And how they complete it and what their finished product looks like is really based on them. It's based off of their interest. It's based off of how they wanted to go with the project. For example, in marketing, we do like a music promotion project. You have the components that you have to do, like a digital marketing campaign, right? You have to create certain things. But what that looks like, who you do it on, how you present it, that's all on you, honey. And it's great because we get this wonderful variety. 9 times out of 10, we're all learning something new. We're learning not only about the performer or the band or whatever the student picked, we're learning about the student. We're learning about their likes, about what's important to them. Because what one person designs, right, if they focus in on certain lyrics, if they focus in on a certain time period that a performer went through and struggled through, that gives a lot of insight about the student themselves. And so we're building this community and we're learning about each other. It's all based on them. They lead that. I check in. I facilitate. But when they get into groups and they're like, hey, guys, this is what I got so far. Like, what do you think? What am I missing? They are leading those discussions with each other. And the same thing with theater, with acting. Here are some scenes you can choose from. What does that look like? We start with open scenes when we do partner scenes. And open scenes are really just sentences that have no punctuation. There's no context. There's no meaning. The students have to create that, and they have to create it with each other. And so we can have 5 different partners do the same scene, and none of them are the same.
Wow.
Because they all have to figure out for each other and for themselves and with their partners, what's the context? What's the world that we are even in right now? Right? Are we long lost friends? Are we brother and sister? Are we mortal enemies? These are all things that they create, and they go off and they do the work and they do the hard thinking and they put it all together. And what they come up with is awe-inspiring. It is amazing. It's a lot of fun, but that's what happens when students lead the learning. You just don't know what you're going to get. And oftentimes it's way more than I expect.
Yeah, students are brilliant.
They are.
Well, you talked about culturally responsive practices in the classroom and how to build equity into your teaching. What does it look like to have culturally responsive practices at the school district level?
Yeah. If we are telling our teachers that to be a culturally responsive teacher means that you are welcoming and that you're inviting, that you are making your curriculum culturally relevant, that you are accommodating for the differences of your learners, then I think the district has to match that. Are we presenting information and communication to all of our families, right? Are we accommodating for the differences in our community? Are we welcoming and inviting in terms of access to the school and to the district? Can anybody walk in and get the information that they need? Or are some of our populations and our families, do they have more hoops to jump through than others to get that same information? If you know we want our classrooms to be welcoming, what does our district office look like? Does it have student workup? Does it have families can see themselves in that work and in those images? It has to mirror those values that we're telling our teachers. We have to see it at that district level as well.
Agreed. Yeah, let's talk about you. So in your personal education journey, what worked for you and what didn't work so well?
Yeah, what worked for me was those hands-on classes. I was a theater person. I did, I guess it would be kitchen science today, but it was called home ec. I went to school. I was involved in like FCCLA and ASB. So like things that got me just to be a part of something, right? The sense of belonging and that I can do it with my hands and I can learn from doing something worked really well. I think what didn't work for me was kind of the really like traditional, I stand up here and talk and you take notes, then you take a test and we move on. I have never been that kind of student and I have never been that kind of teacher. I don't want to hear myself talk as much as like students are talking. Like there will always be lessons where like, all right, I have to give you information because I know I learn better when I'm talking and doing. And if I have a question, like I'll go up. So I'm from a really small town. My own education, I grew up with the same people. So I had the same people from elementary to middle to high school. And so like that collaboration piece came really naturally because we all knew each other and we knew each other for a very long time. And so that was just kind of ingrained in my own educational experience because of where I was. And so that's something that I absolutely noticed. Like I put in my classrooms because that's what I know and that's what I'm used to. And that's what I experienced as a student that like, okay, everybody talk, let's go, like collaborate. So those are the things that worked for me. And then having my teachers want to get to know me, I feel like I could always tell as a student, like if you weren't really invested in knowing who I was, I didn't like perform as well in those classes. And so having relationships with teachers and having them be authentic and real was also really important.
Yeah. Well, if you were in charge of our state's education system and you had no budgetary constraints.
That's my favorite part of this question.
What would you change? What would you do?
I would do a couple of things because money is no object. I would do robust CTE programs at the middle school and high school level because I think it's really important to start the exploration in seventh grade. And honestly, if budget wasn't an issue, I think I would start it in sixth grade. Actually, before that, I would have really strong industry ties. I think that it would be really important to have industries that are relevant in our area and power our state and are going to be the future employers of some of our students. They should be tied into that curriculum now. They should be a part of that conversation so that we are providing really relevant and timely skills to our students that they can immediately take and cash in on. The second thing that I would do is I would invest in educational CTE programs that promote an education track for our students. One of the things that I feel really strongly about is that if we are saying that we truly care about representing our community, then we need to invest into our community. And that means that if we're going to have staff and educators who reflect our community, then it starts in our schools. It starts with our community, providing programs for educational training and para training, and then paying for teacher certifications. Because who is going to be more invested in our community than the members of it? And then the next thing that I would do would be really strong equity training for everybody. Like a really strong program that I could just push out to all of the schools and be like, yes, we are all going to get on board. We are going to all get on track. Some of you are doing amazing work and I need to learn from you. And some of you we need to lift up. So we're going to do it together. And so those would be my 3 points. CTE everywhere, more educators of color and more education training, and equity training.
Blair Penry is the 2024 Washington State Teacher of the Year. She teaches career technical education and fine arts at Auburn School District and is the worksite learning coordinator for multiple schools. Blair, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to learn more about League of Education Voters or support our work, please visit our website, educationvoters.org.